Chapter 9. The signal was scratchy, but clear enough to recognize a familiar name as the Corellian newscaster's sober voice filled Anakin's cockpit. Coati Senator Vicky Shesh said the New Republic will receive the envoy with cautious optimism. Anakin opened a channel to the rest of his small task force. Are you guys getting this? They were sitting on an asteroid on the outskirts of the Fraz system, powered down and quietly keeping tabs on inbound traffic. With Kip Duron supplying from here, it seemed a good place to look for the Voxen Silgal needed. The Yuuzhan Vong are sending an envoy after all. Neg that comm clutter, little brother, Jaina ordered. Anakin was in command of the mission, but, being a veteran Rogue Squadron pilot, Jaina was in charge of tactical aspects. As Luke had put it before allowing them to leave Eclipse, Anakin decided what to do, Jaina decided how. Stay passive. Let's not spray rays on idle chatter. Never know who might be listening. Anakin clicked an acknowledgement. Then Vicky Shesh's cloying voice replaced that of the newscaster. I'm the last to condone bargaining with murderers, but I do think we have something to talk about, she said. If we can make our foes understand that the New Republic has no control over the Jedi, perhaps the Yuuzhan Vong will apply pressure where it belongs. Would making the Yuuzhan Vong understand include helping them find the Jedi's secret base? The newscaster asked. Isn't that why they took hostages in the first place? I've been a friend of the Jedi since I joined the Senate. But in this case, Luke Skywalker is thinking only of his followers. The rash acts of the Jedi have endangered the citizens of an entire world, and now he refuses to take responsibility. How do you like that? Zek said, ignoring Jaina's request for calm silence. While he and Jaina had been close when they were younger, they had drifted apart since she volunteered for Rogue Squadron, and now he sometimes seemed to place a premium on annoying her. The Yuuzhan Vong threaten a billion lives. We get blamed. Bounty hunter, what did I say? Excuse me, Kimmel Ka said. Along with Lobaka, Raynar, and Yulaha Kor, who in addition to being a talented musician was also a force-gifted tactical analyst. Tenel Ka was manning their sensor platform, a converted blast boat named the Big Eye. We have a contact entering the system. The transponder identifies them as the freighter Speed Queen. Tenel Ka fed the coordinates directly to the X-Wing astromech droids, then added, A second craft has exited hyperspace. It is on a convergence course to the first. Enemy interdictor? Jaina asked. A favorite tactic of the Yuuzhan Vong interdiction forces was to lurk outside their assigned system, then catch inbound traffic with a quick hyperspace hop. Tenel Ka took only a moment to confirm Jaina's deduction. It does not register on the sensors, and there is no ion efflux. It masses out at corvette size. Little brother, Jaina said. Give me a sec. Being the group's most powerful in the Force, Anakin reached out, stretching his awareness to just shy of the population concentration around Fraz. He felt no Voxen aboard the corvette, nor even the Yuuzhan Vong flying it. This latter was no surprise. Though the living crystal he had stolen from the enemy base on Yavin 4 enabled him to sense Yuuzhan Vong, in a different, much hazier way than Jedi sensed most other beings. His perceptions at such distances were too weak to discern anything less than a massive concentration. He was somewhat surprised to detect a more ordinary presence on a frozen moon near the edge of the system, something that was startled to feel his touch. Negative Voxen, he reported. Something on that moon in Orbit 12, but I can't tell what. Not Yuuzhan Vong, though.
Nor did we three feel anything hungry.
The rasping voice of one of Saba Sebatine's Barabel apprentices agreed. Anakin had been reluctant to bring the newcomers along, until Luke pointedly reminded him that they had survived more than 50 space battles flying ancient Y-wings for the Wild Knights. On the way out, They had also proven adept pilots in the new XJ-3, with variable stutter lasers, decoy-enhanced proton torpedoes, and grab-proof shields, the newest and most sophisticated X-Wing yet.
But the presence in Orbit 12 was human.
Unsure of whether the Barabel was trying to show him up or be helpful, Anakin assumed the latter. Thanks for the backup, one. There was a rhythmic hissing that suggested chuckling.
Tail two, little brother.
Anakin felt the heat rise to his cheeks. Sorry. Tail one was the male, Tsar Sebatine. Two and three were Bella and Crossoff Hara. Not sisters, they insisted, but hatchmates. Whatever that meant, their sense of humor gave Anakin the shudders. They had been the ones to suggest the tail code names, which they seemed to find hilarious for some reason no one understood. Raynar saved Anakin the embarrassment of a more protracted silence.
Why are we sitting here? Let's do something.
We can't interfere, merchantman, Anakin said. He was as eager as Raynar to avenge Luce's death, but Luke had ordered them to focus solely on the mission. With Vicky Shesh and her allies already suggesting the Jedi should surrender for the greater good, the slightest incident could turn the rest of the Senate against them. And the Speed Queen is better off without us. If the Yuuzhan Vong see us coming, they'll blast and run. This way, they might let it off with a search.
Fact, Kennelcaw confirmed. They have used their Dovin Basils to bring the Speed Queen to a halt, and a small launch is separating from their hull.
A trio of blips, one marked in New Republic red and two in Yuuzhan Vong blue, appeared on Anakin's tactical display. He had his astromech droid, Fiver, call up the technical data and saw no reason to disagree with Tenel Ka. Even the Yuuzhan Vong did not destroy every vessel they found. If the ship was not carrying war materiel or Jedi, they often released it in the hope of picking it up outbound, filled with refugees. A raspy Barabel voice, Anakin thought it was Crossoff, said,
"Little brother, we feel someone does not obey the orders of Uncle Master."
An instant later, a swarm of blips appeared on Anakin's sensor display. He called, "Big Eye?"
"A flight of X-Wings," Tenel Ka reported. 12 XJ-3s.
Likelihood 99.
Yulaha paused, then said,
"Well, that is Kip's dozen, undoubtedly."
"Big Eye, open a secure subspace channel," Anakin said, "and download the coordinates for a micro-jump."
"Little brother," Jaina warned, "remember what, just in case."
Anakin's subspace comm light came on, and he activated his microphone. "X-Wing flight. You know who this is." He reached out with the Force to identify himself and felt a presence almost as strong as his own in return. "Request you break off," he said. "You'll cause some real trouble for us. For all of us."
"Trouble, yes,"
the familiar voice of Kip Duron replied. "But not for us." On Anakin's tactical display, the Yuuzhan Vong boarding shuttle dissolved into static and vanished. Simply vanished. No sign of attack from the X-Wings. No propellant trails, no energy flashes, nothing.
"Big Eye?" Anakin asked.
"Is something wrong with—" The Corvette lashed out with plasma cannons and magma missiles, and Anakin's display filled with streaks of red energy. Nothing wrong with Big Eye's sensor package. Kip had destroyed the shuttle.
How?
The Force?
It didn't seem possible.
Only the most powerful Jedi could use it that way. Only dark Jedi would. Killing with the Force directly opened a Jedi to corruption, made him hungry for power. At least, that was what Luke said. Anakin knew his uncle and Mara had been disappointed by their latest meeting with Kip. Perhaps this was the reason. The dozen began to juke and jink, lacing the tactical display with flashes of laser fire. Enemy plasma balls flared against their shields or streaked off and vanished. Then the Corvette's blip was engulfed in static. Anakin thought maybe a proton torpedo, but his display had not shown any propellant trails. When the static faded, the Corvette remained. Its fire faded to a mere dribble. The XJ-3 X-wings swarmed, blasting it with laser bolts and finishing it with proton torpedoes. This time propellant trails glowed brilliant blue on Anakin's display. Kip's voice came over the subspace. "See? No trouble." The Speed Queen fired its sublight drives and lumbered off. Though Anakin knew rogue attacks would ultimately prove harmful to both the Jedi and the New Republic, Luce's death was still too fresh for him to feel anything but glad. "Nice shooting," he said. He was about to ask after the two strange detonations when Tennel Kaa's voice came over their squadron comm channel. "New contacts," she reported. Three vessels. They appear somewhat larger." Fiverr whistled in alarm as he displayed the blips on Anakin's sensor screen. The three were arrayed in a perfect stacked triangle, a ship above, on, and below the dozens tactical plane, each vessel situated so that its firing lane passed safely between the other two. Anakin was about to ask for a tactical readout when a data line appeared beneath each ship, identifying all three as assault frigates. Slow and clumsy, but heavily armed and well protected. "Ambush!" Anakin cried. "Fact," Tennel Kaa said. "Launching coral skippers now." Clouds of faint blips swarmed from the frigates off battleside. Most moved to take up positions around the killing zone, but a half-dozen turned to pursue the fleeing Speed Queen. The dozen broke formation, but the bigger ships had already loosed a salvo of corkscrewing lava missiles. A pair of Kip's X-wings flared briefly and vanished. Anakin was already lifting off the asteroid. "Hold on, little brother," Jaina said. Despite her words, her X-wing was rising along with everyone else's. "We're not exactly following orders here." "Are we exactly disobeying them?" Anakin demanded. He truly did not know what his uncle would want. Whether Kip had turned to the dark side or not, Luke would not want him killed. Or, worse, captured. "We can't let them have another of us. Not after Lusa." "This is different," Tennel Kaa said. "The argument could be made that Kip has brought this on himself." "Maybe," Anakin said. He took a moment to collect himself. People had been accusing him of being reckless since Yavin 4, and the last thing he needed was to give them more ammunition. On the other hand, he had made up his mind. "Is that an argument you want to make?" he asked. Tennel Kaa was quiet for a moment. Then the blast boat rose. "No, fine. We're going in. Jaina, tell us how." As the squadron formed around the Big Eye, Jaina said, "Our hop brings us out behind the low frigate. No fancy stuff, and don't get carried away. Just blast an escape hole and head for home. Tails, you fly cover. No offense, but we haven't worked together."
"No offense taken, Styx,"
Abarabel said. Worried that she might not respond as automatically to a different call sign, Jaina had asked the squadron to use her Rogue Squadron nickname.
"We are honored to cover your backs. If Tail One may offer a suggestion."
Tennel Kaa began the countdown, and Jaina said, 7 seconds, one.
"Their missile crews will be facing away when you arrive. If you send the blast boat on the first pass."
"Risky, but it could work in a hurry," Jaina said. "Odds, minstrel?"
"The probability of success is 82% with a margin of error." Babaka rumbled his commitment to the Barabel plan. Then Tennel Kaa said,
2, 1, mark.
Anakin pushed the throttle and toggled the hyperdrive. The stars stretched into lines. 2 seconds later, Fiverr chirped to announce their arrival half a system away. To prevent the return to real space from disorienting him, Anakin kept his eyes squeezed shut. He reached out with the Force and felt his squadron in formation behind him. Kip and the dozen were a short distance to the left, swirling about in the killing zone, trying to avoid plasma balls and magma missiles. Now that he was close enough, he could also feel the Yuuzhan Vong over at the battle. An indistinct quaver just powerful enough to divert his attention at a crucial moment. He was tempted to remove his lightsaber's lambent focusing crystal. A starfighter battle was no place to get distracted. The X-Wing banked sharply right as Fiver, acting in tandem with the other astromech droids, lined up on target. Now past any danger of becoming disoriented, Anakin opened his eyes and saw the battle ahead, a tiny web of flashing color.
"Everybody ready to play?" Jaina asked.
Anakin keyed his microphone to answer affirmative and counted the right number of clicks as others did likewise. Through the Force, he sensed a strange resignation in his sister, not at all similar to his own adrenaline-charged excitement. She seemed more weary than tense, almost detached. Maybe that was how an ace pilot survived so many blinding fast starfighter battles. Or maybe it was the price of coming back alive, the all-too-organic result of stress overload. Perhaps Senate politics weren't the only reason Jaina's leave from Rogue Squadron was indefinite. Perhaps the flight surgeons had suggested to Gavin that she needed a long rest. Fiver, open a private channel to Jaina. Before the droid could obey, Jaina said,
"We're whole and hot. Green to go, Jedi, and good shooting."
Her X-Wing leapt ahead, racing into a light-laced panorama now so large it spilled across the entire front panel of Anakin's canopy. Putting aside any thought of suggesting she stay behind, he toggled his weapons live and selected laser cannons. The target swelled into view, first a blocky silhouette hiding the stars, then a megalithic darkness spewing plasma and magma into the maelstrom beyond. Jaina nosed down to meet the only coral skipper in position to intercept the Jedi, and soon had it juking and jinking to avoid her laser fire. The enemy pilot poured the power of his Dovin Basal into shielding his craft instead of maneuvering it. Not smart. Jaina dodged past the few plasma balls he lobbed in her direction and raked the skip with low-power stutter blasts. When the first hit scored, she immediately quartered her weapons and unloaded.
"Now that's shooting," Zek said.
"Neg that comm clutter, bounty hunter,"
Jaina ordered. Zek keyed his microphone. With nothing between him and the frigate, Anakin switched to proton torpedoes and laid his targeting reticle on the ship's bow. Tisar had guessed right about the missile crews. The plasma nodules and rock spitters on their side of the vessel remained quiet.
"Fiver, what's happened with those skips chasing the Speed Queen?"
Fiver shifted the tactical display's scale. The missing coral skippers were swarming the Queen.
"Not good," Anakin groaned. "Really not good. Uncle Luke will like that about as much as rancor fighting."
Fiver displayed a readout, noting how long it would take the skips to return. They were out of the fight, but they might try to cut off the Jedi retreat.
"Keep an eye on them."
Fiver whistled an acknowledgement, then Anakin's targeting reticle lit as he entered torpedo range. The frigate filled the front of the canopy now, an asteroid-like rock that was all Anakin could see.
"Little Brother Green," he reported.
"Bounty Hunter Green," Zek said.
"Back and forth, you first."
A dozen white circles, three proton torpedoes and their decoy flares, streaked past and spread along the frigate's flank. The Yuuzhan Vong shielding crews activated their gravity-focusing Dovin Basals, projecting a string of miniature black holes that swallowed everything coming at them. Zek switched two laser cannons and sprayed the frigate with stutter blasts. Over the last 2 years, space combat between the New Republic and the Yuuzhan Vong had evolved into a game of bait and switch, each side trying to bluff the other into squandering its limited reserve of power on unneeded defenses and ineffectual attacks. The XJ-3 updates had been designed to win that game. Anakin fired his first torpedo salvo, then switched weapons and sprayed laser fire. The shield crews were slower to grab his attacks, and the proximity fuses detonated within meters of the ship. Melt circles pocked the hull. Out of one small crack shot a geyser of atmosphere. Anakin hit the fissure with a pair of laser bursts, and a plume of bodies and equipment tumbled out. Zek added a quadded burst and triggered a flurry of internal explosions, and then they were too close and had to pull up. Anakin felt a pair of Yuuzhan Vong eyes on him. The lambent wasn't always a distraction, and jinked right. A magma missile spiraled past from somewhere beyond the frigate, and he felt his alarm mirrored back to him through the Force. He checked the heads-up display, and saw Zek sliding in behind him as another rock missile corkscrewed past. "Thanks for the warning," Zek calmed. A pair of skips shot up from behind the frigate and hurled past, volcano cannons spitting plasma balls in the blast boat's direction. Anakin started to loop around. "Get 'em!
Neg that, boys!"
Jaina's X-wing came swinging up behind the skips, her nose already leveling off to fire.
"Take the pair going under."
She flashed past, a single proton torpedo streaking after the rear skip. No need to check the tactical display. With Jaina on their tail, the two Yuuzhan Vong were already dead. Anakin and Zek nosed down over the frigate, weaving through a storm of magma missiles and circling under the vessel's belly before the surprised gunnery crews could target them. 300 meters ahead, two skips were angling up under the big eye, trading fire with the blast boat's big laser cannons. Anakin felt Zek find him through the Force. He quadded his cannons and positioned his targeting reticle. "Lead flyer ready." They depressed their triggers together. Their weapons flashed together. The skips disintegrated. Together.
"Very nice shooting," Temelkaw said. "Now please get clear."
Anakin pushed his throttle forward. There should have been another coral skipper, but it was nowhere on his display. "Where's that last skip?" he said.
"Got it," Jaina replied. "On the way under."
Fiverr let out a whistle. "Yeah, four of them," Anakin said. "And she's not even excited." The blast boat lit the darkness with flashing color. Anakin used his rearview vidscreen to watch the enemy shielding crews catch the entire first salvo. They missed four missiles from the next salvo, though, and one entered the breach Anakin and Zek had opened earlier. The blast blew a hole through the far hull. The third salvo broke the vessel in two, and the ship tumbled away in separate pieces, its truncated halves bleeding bodies and vapor. Anakin looped his X-wing back toward the battle, and found another frigate angling to cut off the dozen. The Big Eye launched all torpedoes, and, no match for the larger ship's firepower, fled. Jaina led Anakin and Zek after the volleys, but Kip's voice came over their comm channel. "You've done enough, Styx. We've got it from here."
"Sure."
Jaina's reply was sarcastic, perhaps because the blast boat's torpedoes were arcing into a gravitic singularity.
"They'll just let you past."
"Well, not let." A brilliant flash lit the frigate's bow, incinerating the bridge and leaving the vessel dead in space. The dozen's eight survivors launched a torpedo volley at the crippled ship, then streaked out of the killing zone with a comfortable lead on the pursuing coral skippers. "Kip," Anakin gasped, "how did you—"
"The Force."
The answer was curt, and even without the Force, Anakin would have sensed Kip's anger at losing so many pilots. The two groups joined formations in cold silence, and remained silent. Kip had yielded to his anger before, and all Jedi knew the danger of that. But Anakin was beginning to wonder. On Yavin 4, a bitter Yuuzhan Vong outcast had betrayed his people to help Anakin rescue Tahiri. And from him, Anakin had learned that there was a dark side even without the Force, that strength of will counted for as much as purity of heart. Now more than ever, it seemed to him that the Force was one tool among many, to be used for a greater good. And if Kip Duron had discovered some way to use the Force to destroy enemy ships, it seemed to Anakin that Eclipse should investigate it, that a strong Jedi with a focused will and pure heart might be able to use it without turning to the dark side. Kip allowed the silence to hang on the comm channels until they were clear of the enemy, then asked, "Anakin, do those explosions remind you of anything?"
Their spectrographic signature was that of a proton torpedo, Kennelcaw said helpfully, but there was no propellant trail.
And what does that tell you? Kip asked smugly. Think about it. Size matters not, and all that.
Telekinesis? Anakin gasped.
You're using the Force to throw torpedoes? I'm not as fast as a propellant charge, yet. But the Yuuzhan Vong have a hard time seeing proton torpedoes without a big, bright propellant glow to give them away.
Anakin was almost disappointed. He had been hoping for a secret weapon, something the Force-blind Yuuzhan Vong could never counter. Instead, it was just one more move in the game, one more trick the enemy would soon learn to defeat. If Kip expected someone to congratulate him on his cleverness, he was disappointed. Tennel Kaw remarked that it would save the New Republic a few propellant cylinders, if nothing else. Then an urgent warble drew Anakin's attention to his tactical display. Fiverr shifted scales, showing the Speed Queen's derelict hulk dead in space. The six coral skippers that had destroyed it were rushing to cut off his group's escape path.
"We are not done yet, I fear," Tennel Kaw said.
The six skip pilots were hopelessly outnumbered, and would no doubt die, but they would also buy the rest of the task force time to catch the X-wings from behind. Anakin hissed a curse, then cursed again as three X-wings appeared ahead of the skips, rushing to meet them.
"Please continue on course, little brother," a Barabel rasped. "This will not take long. There are only six."
The three X-wings merged into one blip and continued toward the enemy, forcing the Yuuzhan Vong to choose between being torn apart piecemeal and abandoning their screen. Not surprisingly, they closed ranks, spraying a flurry of stripes and corkscrew lines at the Barabels. Outside the canopy, Anakin could barely see the battle ahead, mere pinpoints of light flashing in the distant darkness. He looked back to the tactical display and saw the corkscrew lines winking out as they approached the X-wings.
"They can't do that," Zek gasped. "If you think they are shooting missiles out of space, then they can," Tennel Kaw said. "Optical magnification shows a 72% correlation between their laser flashes and the disappearance of the missiles."
Anakin was not as impressed by their shooting as by their flying. To merge into one blip, they had to be on top of each other, no more than a meter apart, at a velocity that might well be 10% of light. Aside from demoralizing the enemy, he could think of no battle use for such a display of precision, but he was impressed. At last, one magma missile got through to the X-wings. Anakin's eyes remained glued to the tactical display, awaiting the horrible flash that would mean the end of one, or, as close as they were, all three Barabels. It never came. The missile reappeared on the other side of the blip, in a different trajectory. Someone had used the Force to redirect its flight.
"I need some Jedi in my squadron," Kip said. "I need some Barabel Jedi."
Anakin looked up again. The battle was brighter now, more like a flickering Fos flea, but there was no question of reaching it in time to help the Barabels. The Yuuzhan Vong gave up on the magma missiles and concentrated on plasma balls. To Anakin's amazement, the Barabels wasted no effort trying to dodge. They took the attacks head-on, one after the other, and continued straight on long after their shields should have fallen.
"How can they do that?" Zek asked. "Are they reinforcing each other's shields?"
"Not enough overlap."
Jaina's voice was full of admiration, the first sign of emotion she had displayed during the battle.
"They must be leapfrogging, taking turns out front while the others re-energize."
"Fact," Tennel Kaw confirmed, "there are fluctuating ion pulses consistent with variations in drive output."
"Now I'm really impressed," Anakin said.
A Yuuzhan Vong blip vanished. The X-wings swung toward another skip. It disappeared, too. Anakin was not surprised by this tactic, but he was awed by its precision. The hatchmates were concentrating their fire, simply overwhelming their targets with the sheer volume of laser blasts.
A third skip blinked out. The survivors closed on the X-Wing's flanks, trying to swing around behind them. The Bearbell's blip quivered and slowed. Anakin knew the Yuuzhan Vong were using Dovin Basals to pull at the X-Wing's shields. He wanted to open a channel and yell at them to toggle their grab safety, which would release the shields and bring them back up a millisecond later. He did not dare interfere with their concentration. The Bearbell surprised him again, this time shutting down their sublight drives completely. With the skips pulling on their shields, the distance closed in a heartbeat. Then there were three X-Wings again, each nose-to-nose with a coral skipper. The tactical display burst into an indecipherable tangle of propellant trails, then dissolved into static as the rapid-fire proton bursts overloaded the blast boat's sensors. Anakin glanced through his canopy and saw a Nova-like burst of light. When he looked back to his display, there was nothing but static. "Fiver?" The droid tweedled and set to work filtering the overload.
"Tails?" Jaina called. "Are you there?"
They did not reply, but Tenel Ka said,
"Our sensors are coming back online. There appear to be three X-Wings." "Tails, are you there?" Jaina repeated. "One, two, three?"
She was answered by a long outburst of sissing, what passed for laughter among the Bearbell.
"We are here, Styx,"
one of the hatchmates rasped.
"One, two, three."